KPDX Columbus, Madison's home for real news and great conversation. A Civic Media Station.
ABC News, I'm Daria Albinger. The rebuilding effort after Hurricane Helene could take months or longer. President Biden says the U.S. will be there for communities affected by it.
I've directed my team to provide every available resource as fast as possible to your communities to rescue, recover, and to begin rebuilding.
The president will visit North Carolina on Wednesday. Former President Trump visited Georgia today. The Israeli military may be on the verge of a limited ground invasion into Lebanon, targeting Hezbollah infrastructure. Ryan Ruth pleaded not guilty today to 5 federal charges. He was arraigned. He's accused of plotting the second attempted assassination on former President Trump. Dikembe Mutombo, the NBA center known for his finger wag after block shots, has died of brain cancer at the age of 58. Stocks closed higher to start the week. The S&P at an all-time high. This is ABC News.
This is your hometown radio, refreshed, keeping you informed, entertained, and connected locally across the Civic Media Network.
Civic Media News. I'm Terry Bell. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. Donald Trump campaigning in rural Wisconsin over the weekend. He spoke in Prairie du Chien, hoping to capitalize on the recent arrest of an undocumented immigrant accused of violent crimes.
We will secure that border on day one. I always say, you know, they say, what are the first things you're going to do, or the first two things? I always say, number one, we're closing our border, and number two, we drill, baby, drill.
But the numbers show immigrants are much less likely to commit violent crimes than American-born citizens. Trump campaigns in Wanakee and Milwaukee tomorrow. Home prices keep going up in Wisconsin 8%, according to the latest report from the Wisconsin Realtors Association. The median price of a Wisconsin home is now $324,000. I'm Terry Bell, Civic Media News. Here's what you need to know closer to home. Volunteers with the American Red Cross in Wisconsin are helping victims of Hurricane Helene. In all, 1,400 workers from around the country are part of the relief effort. 25 volunteers are from Wisconsin. 7 are from the southeastern part of the state. Their assignments could change at any time. In fact, Red Cross volunteers have to be on standby in case they're needed more somewhere else in the country. The people who build new homes in Madison can't afford to live in them. That's the conclusion of a study done by the firm Construction Coverage. In Madison, construction workers earn about $30 an hour, but the average monthly mortgage payment is more than $2,000 a month. That means Madison construction workers would have to work 55 hours a week to keep housing costs below 30% of their pay. And that's what you need to know. I'm Terry Bell for Savannah Tome Olson, and this is Civic Media News.
The Packers fall to 2-2. Hi, I'm Jimmy Cuska with sports, filling in for Mike Clemens. Minnesota led Green Bay 28-0 at the half, but the Packers were able to move the ball and put up points in the second half before falling short against the Vikings 31-29. Quarterback Jordan Love said they didn't do enough to win.
We just didn't make plays. I think did not play well enough, personally me. And, you know, accuracy was a little bit off, a little bit shaky, and was definitely making it hard on some of the guys, which just led to us, you know, getting off the field early and not being able to put up points.
Green Bay heads to L.A. to play the Rams on Sunday. The Milwaukee Brewers are off today as they await their postseason opponent. The Mets and Braves play a doubleheader today to determine postseason seeding. A sweep by either team means the Brewers get Arizona. A split means Milwaukee faces the Mets tomorrow. First pitch is just after 4:30 in Milwaukee tomorrow. And after dropping 2 games, the 2-2 Badgers host Purdue on Saturday with an 11 a.m. kickoff. Filling in for Mike Clemens, I'm Jimmy Cuska with Civic Media Sports.
You can always continue the conversation on social media. Share your thoughts when you find and follow Civic Media on Facebook, X, and Instagram.
I'm meteorologist Mace Michaels. Mostly clear tonight, breezy this evening, a low in the mid-50s. Mostly sunny for tomorrow and not as warm and still a little breezy. Highs in the mid-60s. Low 70s with sun Wednesday, mid-70s for Thursday. Currently at 79.
You know Ignite Glass and Gifts' three locations in Madison, but you can also shop igniteglassandgifts.com. You'll find grinders, lighters, collectibles, hand-blown glass water pipes, artistically designed jewelry, and plenty of other items delivered straight to your door or to family and friends. Madison's favorite for glass, gifts, and vape, Ignite Glass and Gifts, Monona Drive, Williamson Street, and Odana Road. Plus, igniteglassandgifts.com.
The Todd Alba Show.
They're eating the pets.
J.D. Vance has said on the air that he admitted it was all a lie. Packed right load, words have consequences.
Of course they do. When we're talking about the incendiary remarks about immigrants, we're not talking about the fact that it was Donald Trump and Donald Trump alone who killed the bipartisan border security and immigration reform bill.
The Todd Alba Show. Weekdays, noon till 2 on your local civic media radio station and on the app. Todd Alba.
Hey, everybody, join us next time as we'll preview the vice presidential debate. J.D. Vance taking on Tim Walz right here. Join us.
The Todd Alba Show, weekdays noon till 2. A voice for Madison, real news and great conversation, 92.7 WMDX. Broadcasting across the state of Wisconsin on the Civic Media Radio Network and around the world on the Civic Media app. This is the Dom Salvia Show. And now, here's your host, Dom Salvia.
And welcome to the Dom Salvia Show. Thank you so much for listening, hanging out with me. Appreciate every single one of you. You got lots of choices, but here we are together. 855-752-4842. Aaron working hard on the board. We will get to your calls shortly. Want to get into, I guess, weather. This is normally not a weather channel or a sports channel, but you know, Packers had a hell of a game, and this hurricane is devastating. The news just keeps on coming in, and so are the terrible political games being played by at least some on the right. Here is an update that I've found from the AP from just a short time ago. Widespread devastation left behind by Hurricane Helene came to light Monday across the South, revealing a wasteland of splintered houses, crushed cargo containers, and mud-covered highways in one of the worst storms in U.S. history. One of the worst storms in U.S. history. I think that bears repeating. The death toll topped 130, and that's as of right now. My understanding is still hundreds unaccounted for, and hopefully that is just a circumstance of, you know, cell towers being down, no power, those kinds of things. And hopefully the majority of those folks will be found. As the AP reports, a crisis was unfolding in western North Carolina, where residents stranded by washed out roads and lack of power and cell service lined up Monday for fresh water, a chance to message loved ones days after the storm that they were alive. At least 132 deaths in six southeastern states have been attributed to the storm that inflicted damage from Florida's Gulf Coast to the Appalachian Mountains in Virginia. The toll steadily rose Monday as emergency workers reached areas isolated by collapsed roads, failing infrastructure, and widespread flooding. During a briefing Monday, White House Homeland Security Advisor Liz Sherwood Randall suggested as many as 600 people hadn't been accounted for as of Monday afternoon, saying that some may be dead. President Joe Biden plans to travel to North Carolina on Wednesday. Government officials and aid groups working to deliver basic supplies by air, truck, and even mule to the hard-hit tourism hub of Asheville and the surrounding mountain towns. At least 40 people died in the county that includes Asheville. And I was on with Maggie earlier today, and we both talked about this. We've been to Asheville. It's a beautiful part of the city, of this country. And it has just been devastated by this storm. So our hearts go out to all those folks down there. The destruction and desperation were unimaginable. A flattened cargo container sat atop a bridge crossing a river with muddy brown water, overturned pontoon boats, splintered wooden docks, and tree trunks covered the surface of a picturesque lake tucked between the mountains. And if you've seen the pictures, folks, it is just, it's apocalyptic. I'm not going to say biblical because, you know, I don't believe in all that, but some are describing it as such, a thousand-year storm. And as the AP puts it, one of the worst storms in U.S. history. So slowly getting some aid in there, which is good. How else you can get it, air, truck, and even mule, apparently the effort. Now, the North Carolina death toll included one horrific story after another of people who were trapped by floodwaters in their homes and vehicles or were killed by falling trees. A courthouse security officer died after being submerged inside his truck. A couple and a six-year-old boy waiting to be rescued on a rooftop drowned when part of their home collapsed. Now, rescuers did manage to save dozens, including an infant and two others stuck on top of a car in Atlanta. More than 50 hospital patients and staff in Tennessee were plucked by helicopter from the hospital rooftop in a daring rescue operation. There's more to the AP story than that, but again, take a look at the photos, take a look at the news cycle on this. It is devastating. It is terrible. We still have approximately 600 people unaccounted for, and lots and lots of work to do. Now, in this environment, in this circumstance, what does the former guy do? Well, Trump criticized the Biden administration's response to the widespread devastation, even as his supporters call for cuts to federal agencies that warn of weather disasters and deliver relief to hard-hit communities. Again, also from the AP. As President, Trump delayed disaster aid for hurricane-devastated Puerto Rico and diverted money from the Federal Emergency Management Agency, that's FEMA, folks, in order to finance an effort to return undocumented migrants to Mexico. And Project 2025, backed by Trump supporters, but not Trump. He doesn't know anything about it. Oh, there's some good things in there. He doesn't know anything. He doesn't want to do with it. That Project 25 would restructure FEMA to limit aid to states and say that the National Weather Service, which provides crucial data on hurricanes and other storms, should be broken up and downsized. And of course, as mentioned in the last hour, Trump claimed without evidence on Monday that the Biden administration and North Carolina's Democratic governor are going out of their way to not help people in Republican areas. You know, you hear the stories and, you know, these kids dying, these parents drowning, and, you know, the officer in his truck. I mean, it goes on and on and on from Florida to North Carolina to Virginia. And this is where Donald Trump goes. Never let a good emergency, you know, go to waste. Whatever political gain you can possibly get out of the suffering of others through a natural disaster, with no evidence that your political rival would somehow do, I don't know, what you did when you held up disaster aid for Puerto Rico. Of course, you're saying this about your opponent. It's more projection because you literally did that. Pardon me. Biden has approved major disaster declarations for Florida, North Carolina, and South Carolina, allowing survivors to access funds and resources to jumpstart their recovery immediately. FEMA and other federal agencies, along with the private business and nonprofit faith-based organizations, responding to the disaster in seven states: Florida, Georgia, North Carolina, South Carolina, Tennessee, Alabama, and Virginia. Each of these states are at different stages of their response and recovery efforts. However, all states are addressing the impacts, including impassable roads, communications, and water system disruptions and power outages, FEMA said in a statement. Now, Trump also suggested Monday that Georgia's Republican governor, Brian Kemp, had been unable to get in touch with Biden regarding relief. Oh, okay. So not only, according to Donald Trump, the former liar in chief, not only is it the Democratic administration in North Carolina and the federal administration of Joe Biden holding back relief for these Republican areas. You know, I don't know if the kid was Republican or not, but I'm pretty sure people want to help them. He suggested that Kemp couldn't get a hold of Biden. But, according to the AP, Kemp told reporters that he spoke with Biden the day before and that the president said to call him directly if the state has additional needs. I appreciate that, said Kemp. In addition to the humanitarian crisis, natural disasters can create political tests for elected officials. Yeah, you think? You think Trump passed or failed his natural disasters? North Carolina and Georgia, two of the states hit by the storm, are key battleground states. As we know, Harris said in a statement, she and Biden are working with local leaders in the Southeast to provide support as they face the impacts of Hurricane Helene and begin to recover. More than 1,500 Federal personnel have been deployed, including power restoration and search and rescue teams. Listen to local officials and stay safe, Harris said. We are with you every step of the way. The FEMA administrator called the flooding in North Carolina historic, and the storm caused significant infrastructure damage to the water systems, communications, roads, critical transportation routes in multiple states, complicating recovery efforts. I don't know that anybody could be fully prepared for the amount of flooding and landslides that they are having right now, she said on Face the Nation. She visited several areas in North Carolina, sending bottled water, U.S. Army Corps of Engineers, as we know this. But as AP notes, Trump's term as president, he visited numerous disaster zones, including the aftermath of hurricanes, tornadoes, and shootings. But the trips sometimes elicited controversy when he tossed paper towels to cheering residents of Puerto Rico in 2017 in the wake of Hurricane Maria. There's obviously more to it than this. But as mentioned, I'll throw this one out there. It wasn't until years later, again, 2017, dude's out there throwing paper towels like he's shooting jump shots. Years later, just weeks before the 2020 presidential election, the Trump administration released $13 billion in assistance for the territory. Federal government watchdog found that officials hampered an investigation into delays in aid delivery. I mean, because of course they did. Because what? Donald Trump probably wanted them to do him a favor, though, because that's how he is. These are the facts. This is how Donald Trump dealt with those disasters in the past. That's reality. Now, you can say whether he'd do a better job right now than Joe Biden, but I kind of doubt it. A little bit more here also from the New York Times. Breaking news. Biden says he could ask Congress to pass aid for catastrophic damage. Just a little bit here, then we'll get to your calls, 855-752-4842. Biden said Monday he expected to ask Congress for supplemental funding to provide relief to states devastated by Hurricane Helene, which left more than 100 dead and hundreds more unaccounted for. During remarks at the White House, Biden said he might need to call Congress in for a special session to help response to what he called catastrophic and history-making storm. As we know, lawmakers left Washington last week after passing a stopgap spending bill to fund the government until December 20th. Ooh-hoo! Here's what Biden said. It's devastating, referring to the Category 4 hurricane that wreaked havoc across Florida, Georgia, North Carolina, South Carolina, Tennessee, and Virginia. They've never seen anything like this before. We keep hearing that. Nothing like this before. Now, Harris cut a campaign trip short to travel to Washington for briefings with the Federal Emergency Management Agency on Monday. Biden said he expects to go to North Carolina this week. Trump traveled to Valdosta, Georgia, a hard-hit city near the state's border with Florida, for a briefing on the storm's impact and to help distribute relief supplies, his campaign said. Oh, God, I can't wait to see the shots of that. So, Biden on it, Harris cutting the politics short. Biden addressing this today. Perhaps there may need to be some help from Congress. Maybe going to have to cut the campaign and the party in short, folks. I know it's football season and campaign season, but you know, there's some folks down south that might need some help. And it's not a joke. This is very serious stuff. Lives lost, infrastructure, billions and billions in damage, certainly. It's amazing how quickly folks turn to the government, turn to we the people, to address these very difficult, complex, multi-state, national issues. We can handle these kinds of things. Maybe there's some other things that we could handle as well. Everyone's a socialist when the emergency comes. Folks, this is the Dom Salvi Show, 855-752-4842. Coming back with some of your calls. It sounds like these time and time again.
A new choice. Madison's Real News and Great Conversation, 92.7 WMDX.
Looking for a roundup of today's important headlines in quick podcast form? Search no more. Find it now on the WMDX website at mad.radio. Your news just for the Madison area. I'm Terry Bell with WMDX News.
I learned patience from my adoptive dad. All he had to say was,
"Hey, you got this. Just breathe."
pretty good.
Yeah.
Might have to start a band.
I got it.
Learn about adopting a teen from foster care. You can't imagine the reward. Visit AdoptUSKids.org to find out more. This message is brought to you by AdoptUS Kids, the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, and the Ad Council.
The John and Gordy Show.
Crazy people appear before the school boards, and they started banning books, right? The book, she says, featured one kiss. The mysterious woman appeared before a school board in Texas and claimed that this is the kiss that turned her into a debilitating porn addict.
That's been a hell of a kiss.
After reading the Scholastic book, she looked for other books that gave me pleasure. That is a quote.
Weekday mornings, 6 till 8 on 92.7 WMDX. Matt Nair on air.
Dan Schaefer is here from the Recombobulation Area and now Civic Media's new political editor.
Jane, I know you like to talk about our assembly speaker.
Popcorn King, yes, Robin Voss.
So there is a potential outcome with these new maps where Greta Neubauer is the assembly speaker and Robin Voss is the minority leader. How does that sound, Jane?
I feel like my birthday came early.
Matt Nair on air, weekdays at 11 on 92.7 WMDX and the Civic Media app.
You are listening to your local Civic Media radio station on air. Thank you. Did you know we are always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app too? And if you miss a show or game, find it wherever you get your podcasts or on our website, civicmedia.us.
Welcome to Madison's Real News and Great Conversation, 92.7 WMDX.
And welcome back to the Dom Salvia Show, 855-752-4842. Talking about this devastating hurricane, the reactions to it, the practical, the FEMA's reaction, the administration's reaction to it, the political reaction to it from, you know, the former guy and even some of the megas out there. But we have some callers. They've been very patient. Let's get to them. Once again, 855-75-CIVIC. Dana from La Crosse. Welcome, Dana. What do you got for us?
Hey, good afternoon, Dom. Hey, yeah, so it's always projection with this guy and these guys. No matter what the topic is, if they're accusing Democrats of something, it's because they know they do this stuff. And so they think everybody must do it, corruption, whether it's cheating in elections or here with disasters. Let's not forget, and this still goes under the radar a lot. Let's not forget that during COVID, when Trump and Jared found out that it was killing mostly black people in blue states, that's when they decided they wanted everything opened up again. They didn't even have the foresight to think.
Less of a concern because of what? Wasn't their constituents, Dana?
Exactly. Exactly. They sat around for 2 months first, scheming how they could make money off of this thing. So they come up with this ivermectin crap. They all bought up a bunch of ivermectin thinking they sell that to everybody. And then, when they heard it was supposedly Democrats that were all dying, they said, this is nothing. It's just a flu. Let's open up. I mean, they're just vile, disgusting people, Dom.
I mean, that reaction certainly is. And don't we want something different in a leader? Don't we deserve something different in a leader? One that has empathy for all of the citizens, not just some of them, and not just some of them some of the time. And I remember the storyline there, Dana, on that. And that's really, honestly, that's kind of hard to believe, but I do remember reading that as well. But the AP, as they remind us today, the Puerto Rico Hurricane Maria, 2017. You know, Trump went down there for the photo op, did his shooting the paper towels into the crowd, having a grand old time, but didn't release $13 billion in assistance and aid to help with that devastating storm for another almost 3 years. It was 2017 when the hurricane hit. It wasn't until before the 2020 election that the Trump administration released the $13 billion, literally holding up aid from a hurricane. Oh, well, they're not citizens. Well, it's a territory, whatever, man. Are you kidding me? That's our responsibility, right? Right? I mean, maybe if they had some representative, maybe they had a couple of senators, they'd be able to impact a little more than getting treated like that from the former administration. Of course, because it's Puerto Rico. I mean, you think if it was West Palm Beach, that the $13 billion would have been held up for a day? You think it was Mar-a-Lago? You think it was any of his properties that aid would have been held up for a day? I don't think so. I think if you really search your own heart, even you, Megas, you probably wouldn't think so either. But that's how he did it. So when he talks like this, when he lies about the governor from Georgia, Kemp, being unable to get a hold of the president, Biden, when they talked yesterday, it's just lies. It's vitriol. It's hardly worth discussing. But of course we have to, because this is who you want in charge the next time something like this happens. Because there will be a next time. There's always a next time. You think Donald Trump is preparing for the next hurricane? No, I don't think so. He's got a Sharpie. He'll put it on the map. Oh, it's not going to go here. It's going to go over there. I don't buy it. He's not capable of the empathy. He's not capable of proper administration. He's just not. And I have zero hope that he will surround himself with the types of folks that would do that. I do believe, like Harris recognizes that. I do believe that the vice president believes that she is not the only one that can fix everything. It takes experts. No one is an expert on everything. And if anybody tells you that, they're full of it, like Donald Trump. He is not the only one that can fix it. And if he surrounds himself with lackeys and yes folks and the political types and not the professionals and not the knowledgeable, not those that are truly serving this country and are instead there serving themselves, a disaster like this, and we're certainly not over it yet, and we'll see how it all pans out, and every administration has their time to deal with this. And I am hopeful that this administration will continue to be competent. It seems thus far that that's the case, that I hope that continues to be the case, even with the headwinds thrown in, the politics thrown in from a guy like Donald Trump or even Marjorie Taylor Greene, because she's out there as well. According to the Raw story, Greene pleaded with federal government to send relief to her state in the aftermath of the hurricane. Here's what she said. The storm was supposed to come directly across my district, but when it came through Georgia, went to the east, we mainly just got a lot of rain. When we go back to Washington, we'll be working hard to make sure that states like Georgia, South Carolina, Tennessee, North Carolina get all the funding they need. We've already signed a letter. We sent that letter to Joe Biden requesting relief that Brian Kemp, our governor, has already requested. So our entire delegation has signed on to that letter. We need it. We need them to step in and send the funds and the relief that these people deserve. Yeah, I agree. What about other funds and other relief that people deserve? Is it only socialism when it impacts you? Is it only okay when it impacts you and some of your constituents? Certainly not all of them. You know, it's times like these. I heard that song. Thank you for that. Love that song, Foo Fighters. It's times like these that the leadership and the politics and those folks in charge, that's when it really matters. The difficulties come in. I mean, everyone's great when there's money in the bank, right? But when times get tough, you find out who your friends are. And you find out what the philosophies are. And apparently, Marjorie Taylor Greene is all down with the socialists. And folks will come back with some of your calls, 855-752-4842.
This is Madison's Real News and Great Conversation, 92.7 WMDX.
Enjoying this local program?
Find the complete Civic Media lineup at civicmedia.us or the Civic Media app.
Civic Media News. I'm Terry Bell. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. Pro-democracy groups say absentee ballot drop boxes benefit all kinds of people. Sam Liebert is the Wisconsin director of a group called All Voting is Local.
Whether they're voters with disabilities, they're third shift workers, they're single parents, all types of people benefit from having ballot drop boxes.
Marathon County prosecutors are investigating whether Wausau Mayor Doug Dinney broke the law when he moved a drop box out of public reach last week. The sheriff in Dodge County recently urged local clerks there not to use drop boxes. Authorities say one student is behind a series of threats made to Western Wisconsin schools last week. The threats forced Chippewa Falls, Eau Claire, Altoona, Augusta, and Elk Mountain schools to close. The Justice Department says it will press charges. I'm Terry Bell, Civic Media News. Now, here's what you need to know closer to home. Donald Trump campaigns in the Madison area tomorrow. It's his first ever rally in Dane County. That's happening at a metal fabricating company called Dane Manufacturing in Wanakee tomorrow afternoon. The campaign says access to the public will be limited and open mostly to the media. Democrats dominate elections in Dane County, but leading Wisconsin Republicans say there are enough Republicans here to shrink the margins. The town of Westport is trying to incorporate as a village. The move would give people who live there more say in future development projects. About 4,200 people live in Westport, which is just north of Madison. Last week, the Westport Town Board voted to unanimously support an incorporation petition. The town chairman tells the Cap Times the goal is to preserve wetlands and natural resources important to Dane County's chain of lakes. And that's what you need to know. I'm Terry Bell for Savannah Tomei Olson, and this is Civic Media News.
On your entertainment beat, I'm Pete Schwabba. Lately, it seems like mega millionaires with mansions cannot catch a break. First, Ben Affleck and Jennifer Lopez had a buyer lined up for their $68 million Beverly Hills home, only to find out the offer had been pulled. Now, it's been announced that David and Victoria Beckham will have to endure construction noises due to a year-long renovation of the mansion next door. One option for the couple could be to spend time at their Miami penthouse, but Florida can be so muggy. Stay tuned for the latest on this breaking story, and hang in there, Mr. and Mrs. Spice Girl. Joel and Ellie will be back soon, according to HBO. Variety reports that the network released a preview for season 2 of The Last of Us, starring Pedro Pascal and Bella Ramsey. The acting duo plays survivors in the post-apocalyptic zombie derivation of the video game. Season 2 will start after a 5-year time jump in the story. Season 1 of the show took home 8 Emmys and had 24 nominations. The trailer for season 2 can be viewed on YouTube or wherever you get your movie trailers. For more showbiz fun, tune in to Nightlight with me, Pete Schwabba, weeknights from 6 to 8 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
This is your local Civic Media radio station. Want to hear even more? Anytime? Find all of it at civicmedia.us.
I'm meteorologist Mace Michaels. Mostly clear tonight, breezy this evening, a low in the mid-50s. Mostly sunny for tomorrow and not as warm and still a little breezy. Highs in the mid-60s. Low 70s with sun Wednesday, mid-70s for Thursday. Right now it's 80.
Let's get back to live music in the lair with Kaylin Cole. The next song you have for us tonight is called 1103. Yes. Is that a time or a flight number?
Oh, that's actually really good. That's a good idea. I think I might have to write another song with that. You'll get 50%.
It's live in the lair. Grab the podcast now at MaxIncRadio.com and listen live on Saturday night, 6 to midnight, across the Civic Media Radio Network.
Hi, I'm Angie Hicks, co-founder of Angie. When you use Angie for your home projects, you know all your jobs will be done well. Roof repair? Done well. Kitchen sink install? Done well. Deck upgrades? Done well. Electrical upgrade? Done well. Angie's been connecting homeowners with skilled pros for nearly 30 years, so we know the difference between done and done well. Hire high-quality, certified pros at Angie.com.
John Peterson and Gordy Young.
On our next show, we'll welcome in Bill and Judy Summers from Summers Christmas Tree Farm.
And we have more Idiocracy news for you.
The John and Gordy Show, weekday mornings 6 till 8.
And welcome back to the Dom Salvia Show, 855-752-4842. 855-75-CIVIC. It's a phone number. It is a text line. We got some texters. We'll get to the callers as well. But texters, you'll go first. Trump in Georgia. No paper towels. Just holding a notebook instead of an upside down Bible to look important. Wearing a Trump cap. Just a photo op at the expense of folks who live lives have been turned upside down and loss of life. Yeah, it's certainly sad, and to do the politics on it, you know, it's not the time. Now is not the time. Is it time to talk about climate change? Not now? No? When? Because this was a 1,000-year storm, biblical proportions, catastrophic, apocalyptic. Those seem like really bad words that people are describing this storm. And I haven't seen a dollar amount yet. We know the human toll is well over 100 people dead, 600 more still missing. And the actual infrastructure, the dollar amount, the houses, the homes, all those things. I mean, it's going to be a while, but it's a lot. As I mentioned, 855-752-4842. Jim from Brookfield, you're up. Welcome, Jim. What do you got?
Good afternoon, Dom. I just thought I'd share with you, I did catch Donald Trump's arrival at a Georgia airport on our favorite Republican propaganda channel. They covered it like it was the second coming. He landed through a small contingency of Georgia officials on the runway of the tarmac, including Kelly Loeffler, the failed Senate candidate who could not run re-election as being appointed. His comments were disgraceful. He said, "I'm here in person. Joe Biden's probably sleeping." And he also had the gall to question, "Why do we give aid to Ukraine, but we can't have money to help people who need it?" You know, this is hours after things have happened. But he also was greeted, which I found very interesting, by Franklin Graham, son of the evangelical, the late, you know, Billy Graham.
Oh, yeah.
And I just want to point out the hypocrisy, how he is nothing but a political hack. You know, I don't think his father would be very proud. But what on earth is he doing, you know, standing behind Donald Trump campaigning? Obviously a photo op campaign ad where supposedly this, you know, man of, you know, religious man or whatever is supposed, you know, should have been out really with the people helping him. But here he's up on a, you know, airport tarmac, you know, just posing, smiling broadly with Donald Trump, saying what a great, you know, person he is. And like I said, almost it's like the second coming. And all things will be solved because Donald Trump and Franklin Graham are there to take care of everything. So I just, I found that very, very, very ironic.
Jim, thank you for watching it and reporting on it so I don't have to. You know, for guys like Graham and Trump, you know, their very presence is all that's needed. You're welcome, Georgia. Here we are. And you know, given the fact that Donald Trump is specifically playing politics with this issue already, lying that Kemp, the Georgia governor, couldn't get a hold of President Joe Biden. That was a lie. They'd already talked by the time Trump even said that. Before he even said that, lying that Joe Biden and is somehow going to direct aid or is directing aid away from the Republican areas of North Carolina. Just because it's in his head, well, I'm just going to say it because that's what it feels like. But as mentioned, the projection, it's there, man. That's what he did in 2017, Hurricane Maria in Puerto Rico. It wasn't until before the election of 2020 he actually released $13 billion. So he was there right away for the photo op. He was there to jump shot and shoot hoops with the paper towels into the crowd. That didn't take long. But heaven forbid you got to, you know, release the funds. Well, you had to wait till the election to do that. No, not someone I want in charge ever, and certainly not someone I want in charge when disaster strikes, because it strikes, it happens. It will happen again. Leadership matters. 855-752-4842. Who's your Bob? Hey, Bob, welcome. What do you got?
Hey, guy. How you doing today?
Good, good, man.
Okay, this whole thing with the paper towel. Down in Puerto Rico, behind the scenes, I heard two reports that his campaign staff had to back him down because he wanted to throw 10-ounce cans of vegetables at the crowd.
Oh, now, come on.
Yeah. Think about what that bad boy weighs.
Come on. He was going to throw cans of vegetables?
Yeah. And they talked him out of it.
Seems like a really bad idea.
And he switched it to paper towel. But, man, think about the weight of a 10-ounce can of vegetables.
Yeah,
coming at you. Now, look, I have no respect for Donald Trump, but he is a big man. And a man that size can throw a can that small a good hard distance.
Generally, Hoosier Bob, I would concur, but he's also 78. And I don't know if that guy's worked out a day in his life. You know what I mean? So I hear what you're saying, and thankfully he's not in charge right now. I mean, what was it? What was it? Dodgeball. Remember the movie Dodgeball? If you could dodge a wrench, you could dodge a ball. Start throwing wrenches at him. 855-752-4842. Mark from the sack. You're up. Welcome, buddy. What do you got?
Well, thanks. Thanks, Dom. It's terrifying to think that, you know, Donald Trump, all the unhinged rhetoric he's been making known, he's got there's a Supreme Court now that would ratify or endorse everything he does. I mean, that whatever horrible thing Trump would do, that the Supreme Court would say, that's okay. He can do that. Donald Trump is such a toxic blend of Benedict Arnold, James Wilkerson, Aaron Burr, Caligula, Commodus, Nero. I mean, all, you know, the insanity.
Voldemort,
just
Darth Vader.
Voldemort, yeah. You know, fictional characters, too. I mean, he's just, it just doesn't end with the man. And the resources that have been involved now in sheltering his ass when he's down in Georgia there should be not spent on Donald Trump being there. He should be out of the way like Joe Biden is right now,
yeah.
And not,
yeah,
getting in the way and making sure that the resources are getting to the people that really need it. Donald Trump does not need to be there. He cannot give anything to those people at all right now.
He could, Mark. I mean, he could open up his wallet. I mean, the guy's a billionaire, right? I mean, hell, he was handing out money at the grocery store, if I recall. He was tossing, you know, chicken sandwiches into the Alabama crowd, if I saw the video right. I mean, he's out there. He can do it. He could do it. But, of course, he won't because he's a greedy bastard. That's how he got his money from Dad, and then he kept most of it, I guess. He could do something. And one of the things he could do is no harm and stay out of the way. He could do that. Hopefully his presence there did not disrupt any needed help or any of those things. You don't know, but certainly you don't want a former president and current presidential candidate, you know, politicking around a disaster area, man. It's just asinine. I mean, they're still looking for people. Maybe now's not the time, let alone, but he just can't wait. He just can't wait to jump in, make it about Trump, make it about how his opponent isn't doing this or isn't doing that. This is, again, there's consistency in the MAGA movement in Trump, if you can find them in these worse, very specific ways. Once again, 855-752-4842, 855-75-CIVIC. Want to get into this immigration statistic that people have been bantering around lately, but let's get Gail in. Welcome, Gail. What do you got for us?
Yeah, good show, Dom. Just a little bit here. This is just the tip of the iceberg as to what's to come with this. This is mankind's rapid acceleration and destruction of the Garden of Eden.
Oh, what, you think like burning the ground beneath our feet for the last 100-some years is causing any sort of problem? I mean, the former president said it was just all a hoax from China. What am I supposed to believe, Gail?
Well, I'll tell you what, you've got to believe the scientists. This has been going on for years and years. They've been warned about it since Jimmy Carter was in the White House with the solar panels on the roof. No, 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 no. Drill, baby, drill. Okay, here you go. This is what we got. We got mankind's rapid acceleration and destruction of the Garden of Eden, just like how rapid this hurricane gained strength in a rapid acceleration.
Yeah, Gail, it's, and we haven't even really gotten to that point, haven't talked about it. I've been kind of joking, right? Is it too soon? You know, the Republicans are every time there's a mass shooting. Is it too soon? No, it's not too soon, Gail. I mean, this is a thing, right? Should we be addressing it? In the same breath, a guy like Donald Trump will lament the fact that, you know, we're using, there's money going to Ukraine, but not going to North Carolina fast enough. He'd talk about, you know, the Green Deal or trying to, you know, evolve away from, you know, petrochemicals as our power source and into, you know, renewables. Britain, as the New York Times is reporting today, Gail, Britain just shut down their last coal plant. Their last coal plant. I don't know what the percentage was. I heard a stat earlier, but something to the effect of 50% or more of their energy is being produced by renewable energies, and they just closed their last coal plant. What does he say? Let's see. Oil and gas come from majority power supply, although renewables are now, 40% of the electricity generation in Britain, according to the New York Times. 855-752-4842. All right, let's do a little switch here to the migration, immigration conversation. Apparently, there was an ICE report out last week brought to my attention by one of our callers and kind of misrepresented it when he presented it, talking about 13,000 illegal migrants on the loose in the states. Essentially, that's what you would have me believe. Number one, that's not the case. And number two, what he also did bring up was, well, we don't know how many of those were under Trump. And of course, there's, well, who, what about under the presidents prior to that? A couple of pieces here. I'm just going to throw this one out. Lindsey Graham was on CNN with Jake Tapper yesterday. And again, a lot of megas are using this particular statistic and trying to make something more out of it. Now, here's what Graham complained about. 400,000 people have been let loose in our country. 16,000 people convicted of being a rapist. 13,000 convicted murderers. And 400,000 people generally convicted of crimes were released on her watch, and it's not going to bet. Her watch is not going to get better. That was Graham, Lindsey Graham, Senator Graham's quote yesterday on CNN. Now Tapper punched back rhetorically, and here's what he said: "Okay, so I saw that statistic, and we dove into it. Our fact checker," Tapper replied, "that statistic is actually over decades. Yes, over decades." Tapper said, some of those people you're talking about are people that came into the country during Trump. Oh, yeah. If it spans decades, it certainly would. And second of all, some of them are in prison. A lot of them are in prison, not ICE prisons, but federal prisons for their crimes. Well, that doesn't seem quite what we were told. That doesn't seem like the headline that was given to us. Doesn't seem like what the megas were saying. Not at all. So the Washington Post has a piece out as well, how Trump is distorting immigration and crime data and new attacks on Harris. The subheadline, Republicans and the Trump campaign made false assertions about Homeland Security statistics on undocumented immigrants with criminal records by using data spanning 40 years to pin on the Biden administration. You know, what do they say, Aaron? There's lies. There's damn lies. And there's statistics. And you give any of those to someone like Trump, like Lindsey Graham, like some of the mega callers on this show, and they'll say, well, it's all Harris. She's the border czar. No, man, this is 40 years of data, and some of that data isn't even as you present it.
A lot of these people seem to believe they live in a post-truth era.
Well, we just laid down the facts here, Aaron. We appreciate all you folks. Come back one more segment. We'll dive into some of the data here just a little bit so you are prepared to have those conversations with your mega friends. 855-752-4842.
A voice for Madison. Real news and great conversation. 92.7 WMDX.
Shop Verlo Mattress during our Labor Day sale. It's our biggest sale of the season. Get a free box spring with a mattress purchase. Or upgrade to an adjustable base and save even more. At Verlo, every mattress we make is factory direct and custom made locally for you. And it's backed by our lifetime comfort guarantee. Don't fall for the other guy's mattress gimmicks. Verlo has no middleman, so you'll get the comfort you want and save a whole lot of money. American made, locally crafted. Verlo.
The green and gold tailgating, the frozen tundra. Lambeau Field has a legacy all its own, including where to build it. Residents on both sides of Green Bay argued for it. Officials wanted property with room for growth. In the end, 50 acres of farmland was purchased, but the address, Ashwaubenon. More bargaining, and in 1956, the land was annexed to Green Bay. Now, do you know the other reason leaders considered this annexation so important? Parking, beer sales, keeping the Packers in Green Bay? The answer coming up. The Green Bay City Stadium project moved quickly from there, and in less than a year, opened with a Packers-Bears game. It became Lambeau Field in 1965, following the death of team co-founder and coach Curly Lambeau. So did you guess why the land annexation was so important? It's all three, keeping the team in the city, parking, and beer sales. Ashwaubenon was dry at the time. Officials believe Packers fans wanted to be able to buy beer and could in Green Bay. This history makes it a true slice of Wisconsin. I'm Terry Barr for the Civic Media Radio Network.
The John and Gordy Show.
Nirvana's Nevermind was partially produced here in Madison at Smart Studios by Butch Vig.
Butch Vig, I met him. I actually was working at Ward Brot at the time, and he came in and rented a piano. The suits at Ward Brot didn't want to rent them, you know, because they looked like grungy.
Did you vouch for him?
I did. I vouched for him, and I stuck my neck out and said, these guys are all right. Let's rent them a piano.
There you go.
Yeah. Yeah, they wouldn't have made that album without me.
Weekday morning, 6 till 8 on 92.7 WMDX and the Civic Media app. A new choice. Madison's Real News and Great Conversation, 92.7 WMDX.
Hey, thank you for listening to the Dom Salvia Show. Last segment of the day. If you got something to say, hit us up right now on the lines of talk or text 855-752-4842. Texts are from the WMDX. Says, well, CJ apologized for lying. Well, maybe he just didn't understand the deets. So let me throw a little bit of the deets out for you. According to the Washington Post, the Trump campaign and allies, the former president, are distorting official Homeland Security statistics on undocumented immigrants with criminal records, claiming thousands of those migrants have come during the Biden administration when, in reality, the numbers that they're citing span decades. Decades. That's multiple. In fact, 40. The data was released by the Immigration and Customs Enforcement to Congress last week shows there are 13,099 immigrants with homicide convictions who are not currently jailed by ICE. Again, that's a very specific statement. Not currently jailed by ICE. Now, on Sunday in particular, Republican lawmakers seized on the data to criticize Dems, of course, specifically Harris, whom former President Trump has tried to portray as weak on the border as the election approaches. Trump and his allies claim that the 13,000-plus immigrants cited by ICE in a letter were released by Democrats and are at large, posing danger to U.S. citizens. But, as the Washington Post notes, Republicans are misrepresenting the ICE data, DHS spokesperson said in a statement on Sunday. Now, the 13,099 immigrants with murder convictions cited by Trump and his allies are part of ICE's non-detained, quote-unquote, non-detained docket. Now, that's a list of nearly 7 million people who have pending immigration cases before the agency, but who are not jailed by ICE for various reasons, such as because they are currently incarcerated by federal, state, or local authorities. Oh, so if they're not by ICE, maybe they're in the federal, state, or local authorities. I don't know, maybe, or because they've already served their criminal sentences, but have not yet been deported. Now, immigrants living in the United States illegally who commit crimes and go to prison are typically transferred to ICE custody once they complete their sentences here. Now, ICE may try to immediately deport them to their home countries, but some have pending immigration cases and receive permission to remain in the U.S. while their claims are resolved. Now, an immigrant who commits a homicide at the age of 20 and completes a lengthy U.S. prison term could be allowed to remain in the United States upon release if a judge allows it, for example, because the person has a U.S. born children, or other reasons. Now, the vast majority of the homicide convictions are not individuals who came into the country during the Biden administration. Oh, what? Let me repeat that in case you're slow. The vast majority of homicide convictions are not individuals who came into the country during the Biden administration. They are immigrants who've been added to ICE's records over the past 40 years. Many of those on the list were added during the Trump administration. The data goes back decades and includes individuals who entered the country over the past 40 years or more, the vast majority of whose custody determination was made long before this administration. Now, the data first started circulating after ICE Director P.J. Lechleitner, sent a letter on Wednesday replying to requests from Rep. Tony Gonzalez, a Republican from Texas. Well, of course, it doesn't matter whether or not the stats are accurate or whatnot. I mean, even if the stats, I believe what the stats are. Now, how you interpret the stats and what you think the stats mean and who's to blame for it, well, you got to dig in a little bit. But if you see a headline saying 13,000 convicted murderers, oh my God, it's all Harris and Biden's fault. Well, if you don't read behind the headline of, you know, Foxy or Newsy or whatever you get your news from, you know, maybe you'd be calling up radio shows like the guy did on Friday and say that same bunk to me. Now, the number of cases on ICE's non-detained docket nearly doubled during the Biden presidency when illegal border crossings reached record highs between 2021 and 2023. The data in the letter shows that as of July 21, there were about 660,000 non-citizens with criminal histories on ICE's national docket. Of those who are not being held by ICE, 425,000 are convicted criminals. Now, the data reported in the letter represents immigrants recorded over the past four decades, as mentioned, but the letter doesn't specify when the record officially began. Now, an analyst with the American Immigration Council, Aaron Recklin Melnick, noted that the number has gone up by 15% since 2015. Also noted that the docket has been here for decades and can't be deported often for diplomatic reasons. Now, this was interesting. Anyone on ICE's non-detained docket with a homicide conviction has likely been in the country for decades, served a full criminal sentence, and cannot be removed because they're from a country which restricts U.S. deportations. Well, isn't that a quirk? There are others on ICE's non-detained docket who have serious criminal records who, after serving their time, managed to win some form of protection, relief from removal. They're now here legally, but remain on the docket and are required to check in with ICE periodically. There's no evidence that undocumented immigrants commit violent crimes at higher rates than U.S. citizens. In fact, I think there's probably trending that would suggest that's not the case. But I digress. Over the weekend, Trump and his allies cited none of these details. Oh, no. None of those details, because it goes against what they're saying, right? Including what Trump had done with the migrant backlog during his term in office. Instead, during a rally on Sunday in the swing state of Wisco, maybe we played some of that sound earlier, several enlarged posters with immigrants of migrants in orange jumpsuits were used as a stage backdrop. Trump falsely alleged that 13,000 convicted murderers have crossed the border and are free to roam and kill in our country under the Biden administration. On Sunday, he again cited the distorted statistics during a rally in Erie, Pennsylvania. And earlier the same day, Senator Cotton, a Republican, repeated the same false claim on CBS's Face the Nation, quoting, quote him, "The Biden administration just acknowledged that they released more than 13,000 convicted murderers who entered the illegally entered this country." Now, of course, Cotton's not a dumb guy. I'm not going to talk about Donald Trump. They're saying this specifically and purposefully. So you mega faithful go out and believe this. And it's not true. They're not coming. They're not eating the pets. They're not eating the dog. They're not eating the cats of the people that live there. People, do better. This is the Dom Salvia Show. You always do better when you tune in to me. Coming up next, Nightlight with Pete Schwabe. Tomorrow, Josh Call. And we'll preview the BP debate with Walls and Pence. And Vance Pence. Thanks for listening.
Welcome to Madison's Real News and Great Conversation, 92.7 WMDX. Jane Matinair and Greg Bach.
Coming up on the show, the Dropbox is back in Wausau. We'll have more details. We wrap up the show with This Shouldn't Be a Thing. Make sure you join us.
Matinair on air, weekday mornings at 11.
Nightlight with Pete Schwalbe.
It is National Monte Cristo Day. It's kind of one of those sandwiches. It's like bell bottoms. You just haven't heard about it in like 40 years. But it got me thinking, what's a sandwich that's totally overrated? I'm going to go first. The Philly cheesesteak.
Really?
Yeah. And I'll tell you why. Because I'm spoiled. Because in Wisconsin, we have the brat packed with tons more taste than a Philly cheesesteak.
Nightlight with Pete Schwalbe. Weeknights from 6 till 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. Local radio for you and your community. It's Civic Media's mission with stations across Wisconsin. Find your favorites at civicmedia.us.
This is 92.7 WMDX Columbus, Madison's home for real news and great conversation. A Civic Media station.